Good morning. Isn't it wonderful to be here? It's good to see everybody this morning. I was a little bit strange walking up here this morning because I don't think I've ever sat on this side. And it's like trying to write left-handed or something. I'm not sure how Chris does it sitting over here all the time. I don't know why that popped into my head, but it just feels different. It looks different to see all of your faces and not the backs of your heads from over there. I was thinking, what am I going to talk about this morning? What do I want to share with you? And I was asking some people in the last week, what do you think? What would you want me to talk about? Is there something going on in your life that maybe would be a benefit for us to discuss on Sunday morning? And the idea of worry came up. And I know that we've talked about this on different occasions, and maybe we don't do it quite enough. Maybe in our lives we are so filled with anxiety over so many things going on in our life. Maybe this is a subject we should address maybe more often than we do. But I was thinking about that, and I wanted to share some thoughts with you. And Dylan read the passage we're going to look at together in Philippians chapter 4. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and open up there. We're going to look at those verses together this morning. I know it's a familiar passage. I know that we've talked about this passage before. I know we've heard things out of it. But you know, right now in history, we are at probably seeing more anxiety, or at least as much as any other time in the history of our world. There are more stresses, or at least as much stress in lives today as there ever has been. But our problem has been, and continues to be, we keep trying to take this, I guess, a Solomon approach, if you will. And you think about King Solomon, you think about all the things that he did in his life. But I think we take his approach, and we're trying to fix our problems with seemingly obvious physical solutions. We're looking to the world to solve the problems that we have. We're looking for answers that the world gives us. Case in point, we look at our financial woes. Maybe we're struggling. Maybe you're struggling with some financial issues in your life right now. What is the obvious answer in this world if we're having financial woes? Well, it's to go out and either get another job, an additional job, work overtime, or find a new job that pays more money, right? That's how we fix our financial woes. That's a worldly way of looking at things. That's not maybe biblical, but that's a way that we can fix our problems. Maybe we look at our life and we realize, you know, it's just too busy. Life is just too hectic. I've got so many things going on. When I go home at night and I try to lay down and rest, I'm sitting here doing this all night long thinking, well, what do I got to do tomorrow? What am I going to do when I have this meeting next week? And what am I going to do over here? And how am I ever going to get all of these things accomplished? And you look up at the clock and it's 2 in the morning. Or it's 3 in the morning. And you've been sitting there for several hours not sleeping. So what do we do? If you've watched any television lately, you know what the answer is. Well, there's all kinds of sleeping medications to help us go to sleep. We're going to self-medicate. We're going to do something to give us some rest. And we'll take a pill to help us go to sleep. We'll take a pill to help us wake up in the morning. Those kinds of answers are out there all the time. They don't fix, they don't cure anxiety. They don't cure worry. We're never going to find the answers to those problems in the things that the world is going to give us. Now, we could talk about dozens and dozens of other things, but they're still going to be the same. This world doesn't have the answers. Paul, in Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 6, says very simply, "Do not be anxious. Do not be anxious in anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." Do not be anxious. That's a lot easier said than done, isn't it? How many of you, you don't have to say it out loud, you don't have to raise your hand, but if you want, how many of you have ever had any anxiety in your life, any worry? Anybody ever experienced any of that? Pretty obvious, right? Yeah, some people are pointing at other people. I think we've all been there. At some point in our life, we've all felt some kind of anxiety in our life, some big decision that's coming up, something that is affecting our lives in a great way. And there's no way that we can just dismiss that. But is there a reason? Can we look at this passage and can we believe this? When Paul says, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious in your life. How do we do that? How do we get to a point in our life when there is not, that anxiety doesn't control us? Now, he's not saying there aren't going to be big things come up in your life. There aren't going to be important decisions in your life. There aren't going to be times when you're going to have to sit down and really evaluate some serious matters in your life. That's not what he says. What he does say is, do not be anxious. Don't let things control your life. When we do this, when we allow things in this world to control us, when we lose this relationship with God, bad things start happening. We can look back at examples all through even the Old Testament. If you were to go back, and I always think of this passage in Deuteronomy chapter 28, Moses, as he's writing these things down, he's talking about the covenant of cursing and blessing. And he said in the first part of that chapter that if we listen to God, God has blessed us and He's going to continue blessing us. He's going to give us all kinds of good things. But if we don't listen to Him, there are things that are going to happen to us. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, I just want to read a few verses with you real quick. Beginning in verse 64. Now listen what he says. This is, if we refuse to have a relationship with God, if we don't want that relationship, if we don't want a trusting, personal relationship with God, here's what's going to happen. Now this is not all of it, but this is just a portion of what he says. In verse 64, he says, moreover, the Lord will scatter you among all the peoples, from the end of the earth to the other end of the earth, and there you shall serve other gods, wood and stone, which you or your fathers have not known. Among those nations you shall find no rest, and there will be no resting place for the sole of your foot. But there the Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing eyes, and despair of soul. So your life shall hang in doubt before you, and you will be in dread night and day, and you shall have no assurance in your life. In the morning you shall say, oh, I wish it were evening. And in the evening you'll say, oh, I wish it were morning. Because the dread of your heart, which you dread, for the sight of your eyes, which you will see. The Lord will bring you back to Egypt in ships, by the way about which I spoke to you. You will never see it again. And there you will offer yourselves for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves. But there will be no buyer. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a lot of doom and gloom. When you read that passage, I don't know how in the world you could come away from that feeling good. But he said, if you don't want to have a relationship with God, if you decide that you don't want to listen to Him and you don't want to follow after the commands of God, this is where you're going to end up. These are the things that's going to happen in your life. You're going to find no rest. And I love the way he said it. You're not going to have any place to put your feet up. When you come home, you've been working all day and you want to go home. If you have a recliner, what's the first place you want to go? You want to sit down and elevate your feet, right? And just relax for a few minutes. And those commercials that used to be on TV all the time, that the ladies, Calgon, take me away. You want to get in a bath in a quiet place and just in serenity for a little while and find a little bit of rest and peace. And he says that's not going to happen in your life. If you do not have a relationship with God, those things will never happen for you. The Lord is going to give you a trembling heart, an anxious mind, failing eyes, despair of soul. Now, he's not saying God is going to pick you out and He's going to zap you and fill all these things in you. What he's saying is God created you to be a certain way and He created you to have a relationship with Him. And when you don't, all of these things are going to be in your life because you're going to be void of God. You'll be void of all the things He's blessed you with and the ways He's created you. You think about different people. Think about Judas. After he sold Christ out for a small bag of money, later he took his own life. And I'd say to you, he didn't kill himself because of regret, because he looked and saw that he had done something really bad. He took his life because he didn't have a relationship with God. He didn't have a relationship with his Lord, and because of that, other things filled his life. And he took his own life. We were looking in Luke chapter 18 this last week about the rich young ruler. And he went to God, went to the Lord, and he said, "What do I do? What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And he started talking to him about these things. And it says before long that this rich man went away very sad because he looked at himself and he realized he was very wealthy. And the Lord said, "What you need to do is sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And then come follow me." And I tell you, he didn't go away really because he was sad. He didn't go away sad because he was rich. Excuse me. He went away sad because he didn't have a relationship with God. He tried to have one. He was looking at how he wanted it to be. He wanted to keep all this money and he wanted to do all these things and he wanted that God to pat him on the back and say, "Boy, everything is fine." But he put more confidence in the world and the things the world had to offer than he did in his relationship with God. And he went away sad because he did not have a relationship with the Lord. But you know, there are things that go on in our life, and I know that if we have this relationship, if we have a good relationship, even when we're in the middle of those bad things, we find a place of serenity, if you will, a place of calmness, a place where we don't have to be anxious all the time. Think about Abraham and his life. He had been waiting. He had been talking to God, and God had been promising him a son. And finally, his son got there. Isaac is born, and he's looking at this child, and he's raising this child, and he's spending time with him, and he loves him. He would have given his life on a heartbeat for his child. And then one day, God says, "You need to give me your son. You need to sacrifice your child." I have no clue what was going through Abraham's mind when God told him to do that. I can try to imagine. I can look at my children and realize I don't want anything bad to happen to them. And I would do anything to save them if I could. But here, God says, "Abraham, you need to sacrifice your only son, the son that you've been waiting for a long, long time." And he said, "Okay, I'll do it." Even when his son said, "Dad, look, I see all the things that we need to offer the sacrifice, except I don't see the sacrifice. Where is it?" And Abraham simply says, "God's going to provide it for us." Don't be anxious. Abraham, offering the most important thing in his life, and he said, "I don't know why God is doing this, but there's a reason. There are going to be some really big things come up in our life that we can worry over and fret over and can let them consume us. Or we can depend on God." Abraham said, "God gave me this child. This child really belongs to Him. And if that means I need to give him back, then I'll do it. I hope that there's some reason. I hope and I pray that I don't have to and that God's going to do something, but I'm willing to do it." And God blessed him because he was willing to do that. Caleb, the same way, when all the spies went into the land and they came back and all the spies said, "Man, this land was beautiful. It's awesome. It has everything in the world that we need." And all of them said, "Except there's this great army in there and they're going to kill us. They're going to wipe us out." And Caleb said, "Don't worry about that. Now, we could be consumed with that army and how big they are and how powerful they are. But we don't have to be. Because God's already said it's ours." Caleb said, "Let's just go and enjoy it. Let's go and take possession of it. God has already given it to us." Whatever God asks you to sacrifice, do it. What are you holding on to so tightly in your life right now that it's causing such great concern and anxiety? that you haven't given it over to God. It doesn't matter if it's a child. It doesn't matter if it's wealth, if it's riches. Anything that we hold on to so tightly that it starts consuming us causes us to be anxious. He says, do not be anxious. And what he's saying is, give your life to God. Allow Him to rule in your life. You give everything back to Him. He's blessed you. There's nothing you have in this life that He didn't already give to you to start with. Do you not think that He can give it all back to you? Do you not think He can bless you with everything else? God can do anything, and He will for us. What are you holding back? Don't be anxious, Paul said. And he says in verse 7, and that the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He says, don't be anxious. But not being anxious, you need to experience God's peace. Experience it. Dive into the middle of it. Wallow around in it, if you will. Whatever. You need to experience it. You need to allow God, the peace that comes from God, to fill you. You don't want to be anxious. You're going to have to allow God to fill you. Now, there is a lot of false assurances in this world, and we can get caught up in those things. The rich man, as he looked out in Luke chapter 12, and he saw all of his crops, and he said, man, look at all the things that I have. Matter of fact, I've got so much I can't even store them. So I'm going to tear down these little barns, and I'm going to build bigger barns. And I'm going to look out, and I'm going to say to myself, so you have many good things laid up. Now it's time for you to just eat, drink, and be merry, to relax. And we can look in this world, and we can say, boy, if only I had this much accumulated, I could be comfortable. I wouldn't have to worry. I wouldn't have all the anxieties in my life. Well, I'd know how I was going to pay for my children's college, and I would know how I was going to do this, and I would know how I was going to do that. And that's what this rich man was saying. I'm going to be able to kick back and go, I'm just going to enjoy life. Finally, I'm not having to worry every night about how my crops are going to do. Did I get them planted on time? Did I plant them too early? Did I plant them too late? What have I done? Is everything going to work out? Am I going to have enough rain? Are all of those things going to happen? Yeah, I'm not going to have to worry about those things, because look at all what I have. And God says, you fool. You've put your confidence in this world. You've allowed these things to control you, anxiety to wipe you out, really your whole life. And now, you're going to trust in this world? You're going to put your confidence in the things that's caused you all these problems? Your soul will be required of you tonight. Solomon, as he's looking back on his life, kind of reflects on the same kinds of things that this rich man didn't get to do, but Solomon does in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and 21 and following. He's looking back and he says, man, as you look at your life and you see all the things that you've built and all the savings that you have and all the growing that you've done, and you look at all of those things at the end of your life and you look and you go, what good was it? Because I'm going to leave this place and I have amassed many, many things. And now someone who didn't work a day in his life is going to get to enjoy all those things. He's going to have possession of those things. And there is nothing it's going to do. There is nothing that's going to goof for me. And in the end, what do I really get out of all of that stuff? Out of all the problems in my life, what do I get out of it? Solomon says, not a thing. He says, life is busy, painful, and not even nighttime brings rest. Because I'll sit there and you'll wring your hands and you'll think and you'll be up all night thinking about all the things you need to do. That's what Solomon's saying. Don't let it control you. What Paul says is, experience the peace that comes in this relationship with God. Don't be anxious, but experience God. And as you look at Solomon in that same passage in Ecclesiastes 2, and he says, here's what we do, just relax. Relax and enjoy today. Look at your life today. Look how God has blessed you today. Enjoy those blessings. Look at your wife or your husband and say, thank you, God, for giving them to me. And I'm going to make a commitment today to have the best relationship I can. I'm going to enjoy it right now. I'm going to enjoy all my friendships, all the things that I have right now in my life. That's what he says. God will give us wisdom and knowledge and joy if we have this relationship with Him. If we trust in Him, that's what God will do for us. He will guard our hearts and He will guard our minds. And I love when I read 1 Samuel chapter 1 about Hannah and how much distress her heart was in and how badly she felt and was consumed with sorrow and sadness. And she went before God and prayed to God. And Eli was there and he talked to her a little bit and she went away and all of that was given. She left that there with God. She said, God, You take care of it. And she was able to walk away and leave that there because she was ready to experience this peace that only comes from God. She was ready to experience the peace that will guard our hearts and minds, as Paul writes here in this chapter. And then I think, well, how does he really guard our hearts and our minds? Look with me in verse 8 and 9 as he ends this. Finally, brothers, he says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. Consume your life with these things. Get rid of all the negative things in your life. Quit worrying about all those things that are out of your control anyway. And start looking at every decision in your life. Every crossroad that you come to. And you start looking at all the decisions that you make. Everything that you're about. And you start making these. You start focusing and you start consuming your life with these kinds of things. What is true? What is noble and pure? Lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. It sounds like an oversimplification, doesn't it? If we do these things, everything will be all right. How many times have you tried to do that? How many times have you woke up in the morning and you decided, today I'm going to focus on everything I do in my life today. Every decision I make is going to be a positive one. I'm going to allow God to help guide me and direct every decision I make today and see how it turns out. I'm not going to think about things I shouldn't be thinking about. I'm not going to go to places I shouldn't be today. I'm not going to associate with things, with people that I shouldn't be associating with today. I'm not going to do those things. I'm going to think on, I'm going to fill my life with those things that He says. I'm going to dwell on them. I'm going to embrace them. I'm going to love these things. You see, when we fill our lives with these things, God fills us, and there's no room for anxiety and for worry. There's no room for all the things that the world wants to put within us, because God has already filled us. Don't be anxious. Paul ends by saying in verse 9, the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. And the God of peace will be with you. He says, look at my life. And I can tell you to do this because I know where I was. Paul was often reflective of who he was. Of things that he had done and how he had control of his own life. And how he said, well, this is what I thought I really should be about. And he said his life was, man, it was upside down. He did everything wrong. Every choice he made was not right. Even though he believed in it and believed what he was doing was right, it wasn't right. And finally his eyes were opened and he had a relationship with God for the very first time. He finally had this relationship with God. And he said, now look at my life. Look at the things you've learned and received and heard and seen in me. Those things are God, not me. I'm not patting myself on the back, but I'm telling you what God can do for you. He can do the same thing for you that He did for me. If anyone had the right to sit around worrying about their life and what they had done, it was Paul. How many evil things had he done in his life? How many things way extreme, far away from God's will, had he done in his life? God can give you peace in your life if you'll let Him. Paul says, don't be anxious. Don't let the things of this world consume you. You need to build your relationship with God on a daily basis. You need to embrace those things. Now, He's not saying don't plan for the future. He's not saying don't plan for retirement, don't plan for college, don't plan on getting married someday, don't plan on those. That's not what He's saying. What He's saying is, instead of planning on retirement, don't worry so much, don't be consumed about retirement, but when you're thinking about retirement, start thinking about what are you going to do in the kingdom of God when you do retire? What are you going to do with your retirement? With all the money that you saved up so that you can do things, what are you going to do in God's kingdom? Are you going to disengage and start traveling around and living at the lake or on the creek or whatever, those things, and fishing? I love doing those things, by the way. But He says, that's not it. If all you're planning for in retirement is to retire, that's not it. If you're going to retire someday, what are you going to do for God in His kingdom? If you're going to go to college, that's a good thing to go to college. And if you're planning on college, and how am I going to pay for it, and how am I going to do it? Don't worry about those things. Worry about what you're going to do with that education when you complete it. How is God going to use your college degree through you to bless the people in this world and His kingdom? Those are the things we should be focused on, and when we do that, when we allow God to consume us and fill us with those things, we can go to bed at night and sleep. When our head hits the pillow, we'll say, thank you, God, for blessing me in this day. And if I wake up tomorrow, help me again tomorrow. Because we know who controls tomorrow. And it's not us. It's God. Do not be anxious in anything. Experience the peace that only comes by knowing God. I don't know where you are in your life. Maybe you're struggling with things right now. Maybe some worries and anxiety have completely consumed you. I don't know where you are. But I do know this, that if you give those things over to God, He's willing to take them. And if you will build your relationship with Him on a daily basis and give your life every morning that you get up and all throughout the day, He will bless you in ways you can't even imagine. He'll change you. He'll give you rest and peace in your life that you've never, ever known. Are you His child this morning? If not, you can be. If you're ready to name Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life, He's ready to bless you. God is ready to give you all the blessings He has in store, if you're willing to do that. Or maybe you are His child and you've taken back control of your life and you need to give it back to Him. You can do that. God is willing to take those things. You can dump them at His feet right now and walk away completely empty of all those worries and concerns. He's big enough to handle them if you're small enough to let Him. If you need Him right now, if you need to respond to the Lord right now, we'd ask you to do that. While we stand and we sing.